pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright.
Though you ran away from him and were his enemy from birth on, he bought you back. And though you go through troubled times, he's providential to care for you and make sense of it all. If you see it that way, you can't help but give him thanks.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in a special Thanksgiving series. I just want to thank you, Jesus, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. And we do wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program today, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's special Thanksgiving teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
You have hope because if you see your life gratefully, it means you appreciate that it's been given to you and it was given for a purpose. And it's that purpose that fills every day with hope. Not only is joy and hope, are they attached, but faith is linked to gratitude. Because grateful people rehearse in their mind what God has done for them. Grateful people are like King David when he came to King Saul and was asking and pleading for permission to fight against Goliath, the enemy of Israel. And David said, "The Lord has delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear." He's remembering his days as a shepherd boy. And he says, "The Lord will also deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine as well." You see, what he's doing is he's remembering God's faithfulness. Remembering the God moments from yesterday determine how it is that you see your life today. If you look back over your life and you only rehearse the times where you don't have a sense of God's presence, then you'll be inviting your soul, you'll be inviting your whole mentality to adopt a "God's not there for me when I need him" mentality. But if your eyes would be open and you were to really see your life for what it really is, if you were to see the number of times that God has preserved you, protected you, and provided for you that you didn't even know about it, your heart would be buoyed with an unimaginable faith, because faith gets built upon the faithfulness of God. And when you rehearse in your mind what you're thankful for, therefore you're building up your faith. This all goes far to explain why gratitude, the delight of the soul, comes from a very specific command from God, a discipline to give thanks. It's not just what our psalm today is about. In many ways, the whole command of Scripture is built on this: give thanks. I wish I could read to you every one of these listings just from going through and doing a simple search of the phrase "give thanks." 1 Chronicles 16, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." 2 Chronicles, "Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites for burnt offerings and peace offerings to minister in the gates of the camp of the Lord and to give thanks and praise." In Nehemiah, where the chiefs of the Levites and with their brothers stood opposite to praise and to give thanks. In Psalm 7, "I will give to the Lord the thanks due his righteousness." Psalm 9, "I'll give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I'll recount all of your wonderful deeds." Psalm 28, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I'm helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him." Psalm 30, "Sing praises to the Lord, O you saints, and give give thanks to his holy name. Psalm 33, Psalm 44, Psalm 54, Psalm 57, Psalm 75, 79, 86, 92, 97, 100, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 111, 118, 122, 136. Everywhere you turn in the Psalms, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forevermore. Isaiah, you will say in that day, I'll give thanks to you, O Lord. Jeremiah, give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. Daniel, give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and insight. On and on and on and on and on it goes, until finally you'll come near the end of your Bible and you'll read 1 Thessalonians, where finally it's just all summed up in this. Just give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I just want to thank you, Jesus. Is a huge key in this spiritual battle that we wage every day. Praise and thanksgiving, by which you enter into the courts of God, are like spiritual weaponry for you. These are the words of Virginia Stem Owens. Thanksgiving, thanksgiving. All must be thanksgiving. It took 38,000 Levites to give thanks to God in David's day. Every morning and every evening, the shifts changed. 4,000 were needed just to carry the hacked carcasses of cattle, and another 4,000 were needed to sing about it. The place reeked of blood, was soaked in blood. The priests stood around gnawing and chewing and giving thanks. They did not cross-stitch their gratitude on samplers to frame and hang on the wall. They wrote their thanks in blood on the doorposts every year. Thanksgiving is not a task to be undertaken lightly. It is not for dilettantes or aesthetes. One does not dabble in praise for one's own amusement, nor train the intellect and develop perceptual skills to add to his repertoire. We're not talking about the world as a free course in art appreciation. No, thanksgiving is not a result of perception. Thanksgiving is the access to perception. There is so much at stake. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forevermore. Now, Psalm 136 demonstrates to us the three major dimensions of deep gratitude to God. If you look back at this psalm, you'll see that it really comes in these three sections of gratitude. Verses 4 through 9, to him who alone does great wonders, to him by understanding made the heavens, to him who spread out the earth above the waters, to him who made the great lights, the sun. This is about being thankful to God, the Creator, who created all that exists out of nothing, who saw that it was good, who gave us life. In other words, we are thankful to God for life itself. We are thankful to God for the goodness of creation. And despite all the sin and all the brokenness and all the pessimism, the world that he made is full of his glory. Every human being is glorious, gloriously made in the image of God. Your body, your mind is amazing. It is an invitation to wake up every morning, and as your feet hit the ground, to just open your eyes and say, I'm alive. I want to thank you, Jesus. To be alive is good. Life is good. Praise him for all that is created. In the heart of Israel was to lift up God, the Creator. Then the second portion of this focuses on the redeeming power of God. Verses 10 through 16, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. It's retelling the Passover story by which the slaves were set free, and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea, who made Israel pass through, who overthrew Pharaoh, who led his people through the wilderness. This is now praising God and thanking him for the deliverance of the people of God from their slavery. So this is the process of gratitude within the heart of the of Israel, and then in a more full realization in the heart of the Christian. In the same way that Israel is praising him because he created all things, they're now praising him for delivering them from bondage. This is for us as Christians to remember what Jesus has done for us. It is to say that for the Israelites, they would remember in their gratitude the bitterness of slavery. It was a very important part of the Passover meal that there would be bitter herbs, and you'd taste those bitter herbs, and then the fathers would remind the children, this is to keep us ever aware that if it had not been for God, we'd still be slaves in Egypt. The bitterness of slavery. And we are born in sin, beloved. It's not popular. It's not the subject that is politically correct, but we are born in sin. We live in an age that wants to make everything morally relative, as if you can't tell me what's right or wrong. And yet everybody knows there's right and wrong, and everybody knows we're prone to sin. And the fact of the matter is that without God and without what he's done for us in Jesus Christ, this is clearly what Christianity teaches. We would all be lost and separated forever from God, but God, in his mercy, so loved the world that he sent Jesus to come and die in our place and make an unbelievable, unfathomable exchange in which he who knew no sin would become our sin, so that we, by simple childlike trust in him, would be reckoned as his own righteousness and receive everlasting life with him. In other words, beloved, you can never be truly grateful unless you know how lost you would have been had he not found you. We'll never truly be grateful unless you discover that you were dead in your soul, but you're alive in him. What it is to say is that Israel in Psalm 136 was celebrating the God who created them and redeemed them. And what we celebrate is the God who made us has made us all over again. The one who gave us our birth in the first place has given us rebirth in Jesus Christ. The one who gave us life and generated all that exists has regenerated us through the justifying power of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why we say, I just want to thank you, Jesus, because I know where I'd be without him. You sometimes have to just think about where you would have been had Jesus not come for you. You have to sometimes think about what he's done for you and for how bitter it is to be in the bondage to sin. It's not a fun thing to be in the bondage to sin. It's not a glad thing to be a slave to your own flesh and selfishness. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord because he has delivered us from our slavery.
That's Alan Wright, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Before God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful, he blessed them. Before God called Abraham to father a nation, he blessed him. Before God released his son into ministry, he blessed him. Why? Because blessing is God's secret strategy to empower you to be all he made you to be. When others affirm you, most of the time it's because you've proven your worth. Maybe you did well on a test, accomplished a goal, or proved yourself competent. Such affirmation is nice, but it's not the way of God. God's strategy is to declare your worth before you have done anything to prove it. In the kingdom of God, blessing is the fuel for your productivity, not the reward for it. Maybe you need your heart to be healed from old wounds caused by others withholding their blessing, or maybe you're ready to shatter that invisible ceiling that keeps you from soaring. Either way, Pastor Alan writes, the power of blessing will change your life. Change how you interact with others as you discover the ancient skill of the Hebrew patriarchs as they bless their children. Learn how to tune your heart to accept blessing and reject curse. Most of all, drink in the unquenchable blessing of God in Jesus Christ. Get motivated God's way with Alan Wright's 7-message CD album, The Power of Blessing. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries.
We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you.
Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
He's the creator, he's the redeemer, and in this next section you see, and he is the sustainer, he is the providential God who goes before, who provides a way, who fights the battle, who gives the land. You see it in verse 17, and following him who struck down great kings, killed mighty kings, Sihon king of the Amorites, Og king of Bashan. This is the first battles that they faced in the book of Numbers as they're going into the promised land. And gave them their land as a heritage, a heritage. This is about the people and their inheritance that is in God. So what we're thanking God for ultimately, at the root of all of our thanksgiving, is, God, I thank you that you made this world and you put me in it, and I'm alive today, and I thank you. And God, I know that without what you've done for me in Christ, I would be lost and without hope and only deserving your displeasure, not entitled to any good thing, but because of what you've done for me, I've been redeemed, and I thank you. And because of your providential care in my life, because you've always been there and you always go before me, even the things that the enemy brings against me for evil, you are sovereign over it so that you can orchestrate good and bring about good for me. Even in the midst of the troubles of this life, you're good. And so I praise you. And your steadfast love, your covenantal love, your chesed, it never runs out. It keeps going on and on. And so I praise you and I thank you because you made me, because you bought me, and because you cover me. And every single day of our lives, no matter what we're going through, we can thank God for creating, redeeming, and sustaining our lives through his purposes in Jesus Christ. It's what makes for a grateful heart. I just want to thank him. Gratitude is, what I'm saying, is that it is inextricably linked to how you view life. Your worldview will determine whether you're grateful or not. If you think that you're in this world and that you made yourself, that you pulled yourself up, and you deserve good things to come to you, you'll have no recourse except to feel bitter and depressed, like you're not getting your fair shake when life seems troublesome. But if you see your life from the perspective of a good God who made you after his own image, who, though you ran away from him and were his enemy from birth on, he bought you back. And though you go through troubled times, he's providential to care for you and make sense of it all. If you see it that way, you can't help but give him thanks. If you missed Jill Maher's testimony last week, it's a treat, and you'd be encouraged to hear it on the audio CD or online. We had, as part of our missions emphasis week, the 18-year-old Jill Maher, who was a recipient of the ministry of the Open Arms Foundation in Medellin, Colombia. And he's 18. He's living in West Virginia and is hoping to play soccer next year at the university. And Jill Maher, as a little boy, was playing out by the river, and guerrilla warriors pulled up in a boat and began shooting and murdering people. And he ran for his life. He was abandoned by his mother. He went and sought out his father because his grandmother was kidnapped by the guerrillas. And his father, who was a man of having many women, was abusive. And if Jill Maher didn't make enough money for the household, he would abuse him. And one day, after he attempted to nearly drown him and was beating him, Jomar jumped from a third floor, lived on the streets, until he got hold of a truck and rode 3 days on the back of a truck holding on to make it to Medellin, Colombia, where he became welcomed by the Open Arms Foundation and Bill Perot and the servants there, and they taught him that God loves him, and he accepted Christ. And I enjoyed hearing his testimony, and I enjoyed meeting them, but the thing I enjoyed most was eating food at the Golden Corral with him, because until you've eaten with somebody that's had to live on the streets as a little boy and didn't know where food was coming from, you never seen somebody enjoy the Golden Corral. And I just love what he said. He said, whenever I eat, he said, I feel for all those back in Colombia. And he said, and I eat some for them too. He said, even if I get full, sometimes I just go ahead and eat some more because I remember what it was like, because he's thankful. I just want to thank him today. I just want to thank him. I just want to give him thanks and praise. I was headed towards just being a sad, shy, shame-filled fourth grader. Swallowed up by anxiety and perfectionism, that's where I was headed. But for Jesus, I just want to thank him. Get with people that want to thank God and thank him. Find people that like to praise his name and praise his name. Teach your children to be grateful. Maybe you want to do what my mom forced on us and I force on our kids. Tell us two things you're thankful for before you go to bed. Can't go to bed till you tell us two things you're thankful for. It might be good, two things at night, two things in the morning, two things in the middle of the day. Discipline yourself to give thanks to the Lord. Because when you give thanks, you get gratitude in your heart. And gratitude makes you glad. And when you're glad, you realize life is good. And that's the gospel.
Alan Wright. Today's teaching, I just want to thank you, Jesus. It's a special Thanksgiving message. Alan's in the studio back here in a moment with additional insight on this for your life, this holiday, and our final word.
Pastor Alan Wright's Power of Blessing will change your life. When you make a gift this month, we'll send you the Power of Blessing as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. And when you give, you'll not only be nourishing your own soul, but you'll help broadcast the good news to someone else. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860.
We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you.
Come to our website, pastoralan.org.
So, Alan, we know gratitude is a cool thing, and from an organizational point of view, from a social point of view, boy, it is transformational. But when you enter your prayer life, and I've heard people talk about this, when you pray, sometimes just say, thank you, God, and leave it at that. Because so often we want to say, thank you, but Father, I have this need, this need, this need. And what's your take on that kind of a prayer?
I think that at the heart of developing a life with God is a revelation of how good he is. No matter what you're walking through, no matter the temptations you face, the adversities that you face, the struggles that have beset you, or even the failures, the heart that is really in touch with who God is aware God is so good. And he has come and rescued us by the gift of his own son. And so every single day, I just encourage you to wake up in the morning and begin, just as you said, Daniel, I just thank you, God. I just thank you. And I know it's simple, and I know it's childlike, and it can seem like it's just not that articulate, but that's the way little children do when they really are aware that they've been given a wonderful gift. I just want to thank you, Jesus. And it's really at the heart of our walk with God, gratitude every day.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Alan Wright Ministries.